sati mai zuwa zai faɗa cikin ranar Juma'a ko ya zai. Sati mai zuwa zai faɗa ranar Juma'a. Ko?
Zai an tashi.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد. This is our fifth majlis. Today is the sixth of Ramadan, 1446, corresponding to the 6th of March, 2025. We stopped at the 17th point, the 16th point, and we are starting with point number 17. Or questions, go. Bukhari sent me. Okay. Yes. To answer questions, the first question is Salam. I would like to ask Sheikh a question on drop shopping or selling items online, like on Amazon, eBay, where one doesn't possess these items. They sell but get it from a different country via their platform. So one advice or upload this item on the platform, and when someone buys it, they then use the money to buy it and get it shipped to the customer. There are conditions with item being listed clearly and money not received until the buyer gets the item, and no issue before the platform release the money. What's the Islamic ruling on selling things like this or doing such business? I hope I've explained further. Otherwise, I can do an audio to explain clearly for better advice. Jazakallahu khair. Yes, drop shopping, as he explained, that is how it is. There are a number of opinions. There was discussion on this in the Islamic Economic Forum, and they even reached a point to say that it is not permissible because they are selling items that one does not own. But if we look at it from the perspective of agency, that the Amazon, eBay and so on, they are only providing a platform. They are not the sellers.
Yes.
So they are joining sellers and buyers.
Mm.
In such a case,
what is drop shopping?
Drop shopping, as you said, is when you market your product on the platform. You show it, you advertise it, and then if somebody wants it, he will pay for it, and then it will be delivered to his address through the platform. Oh?
Yes, but it's usually like from another platform to another. For example, it is from AliExpress and Amazon. In AliExpress, it is cheaper, so they take the product from AliExpress and they advertise it in Amazon. Uh-huh. They don't really see the product. They don't really see the product. It just take right.
Yeah, those who say it's not permissible is because they are talking of the question of the man who takes control if it is not delivered, because the platform will not bear any responsibility.
More information. How do you get more information about this issue?
I think. Look, I will get more information. Okay, what is the information?
Okay, the information. Okay, the information is sometimes the way it works, when you see the product, you can have your own website and just advertise it on the website with the intention that if any buyer buys it, then you're going to get a commission of whatever he buys. So it must not necessarily be in those two platforms. I can have my own website now, my own online store. When I see the product, I can just pick the ID of it and place it there. So any person that buys it, by the time he buys it, the money will come to me. Then I will order it automatically from those bigger stores. Then it will be delivered with my name and everything.
Yes, well, as far as I am concerned, as far as I can see, there is nothing wrong with this. It is based on Salam. It is Salam, and it is not Salamul Hal, because the moment you say, you take the order, you are not immediately supplying. Mm. You take time to source it from the supplier, and then you will deliver it to the buyer. So when you do something like that, there is no gharar in it. If you fail to deliver, then you will be responsible, because you have taken the money. You will be responsible to pay back. If it is delivered in a way that is contrary to specifications, the buyer, he knows you, he doesn't know the platform. He knows the website from where he ordered, or the person from whom he ordered. As far as I can see, I don't see anything wrong with this drop shopping. But as I said, there was elaborate discussion on this in the Islamic Economic Forum, and they even came up with a fatwa. But they also say in the fatwa that if it is based on commission, whereby the person who is advertising in his website and receiving money, he deducts his commission, and then he buys the product deducting his commission, then he is only acting as an agent. Mm. In such a case, there is nothing wrong with that. It is as though he is joining the buyer and the seller through the platform. And all he is doing in his own website is he is acting as a commission agent. In such a case, it is permissible. Allah Ta'ala. Okay, the second question. This one, he's saying that I am fasting and I had a nose bleeding. Will my fast be invalid? No, there is nothing wrong with your fast. Nose bleeding does not break the fast. Fasting is not from what comes out, but from what goes in. What goes out will not break a fast. Even the hadith of the one who does cupping, hijama, that said, after al hajj wal mahjum, this hadith has got several interpretations from the ulama. One of the most famous interpretation is that ta'arrada lil fitr, they have made themselves susceptible to breaking their fast. Because for the one who draws the blood, he can inadvertently swallow it. And for the one whose blood is drawn, the mahjum, the one upon whom the cupping is done, he has made himself susceptible to weakness, which may lead him to break his fast. So they say that is the meaning of abtar al-hajim wal-mahjum. And in other narrations it says that the definite article is for a definite people. That is, the copper and the one who is being done, they have broken their fast because they were actually backbiting. It was a specific ruling on them. It was not to say a general ruling that anyone who does cupping or upon whom cupping is done has broken his fast. But nose bleeding, there is nothing wrong with nose bleeding.
Yes, and vomit.
And as well, the same thing with vomit also. When you vomit, except if you deliberately force yourself to vomit, if you deliberately force yourself to vomit, that one will break the fast. So. Now, الفائدة السابعة عشر, the 17th point, إعراب غير المغضوب بدل. This is Arabic grammar. غير المغضوب is بدل, that is, it is in place of an amta alayhi sirat al ihdina sirat al mustaqim sirat alladhina an'amta alayhim ghayril maghdubi. So it is badal, it is like ihdina ghayr sirat al maghdub alayhi. Right, guide us not to the path of those upon whom there is wrath. وَيَبْعُدُ النَّعَتِ, it cannot say, it is very unlikely that it is an adjective of أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِ لِأَنَّ إِضَافَتُهُ غَيْرُ مَخْصُوصَ وَهُوَ قَدْ جَرَى عَمْ مَعْرِفَةً, because the conjunction between غَيْر and المغضوب is not a specific conjunction, it's not a specific إِضَافَة, وَقَدْ جَرَى عَمْ مَعْرِفَةً, and it is actually describing al-ma'rifa, it's an adjective, it is describing a proper noun, that is al-lazina an'amta alayhi. وَقُرِئَ بِالنَّصْبِ عَلَى الْإِسْتِثْنَى أَوِ الْحَالِ, there is a variant of recitation that says غَيْرَ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَى الضَّالِينَ instead of غَيْرِ, and this is the qira'ah of one of the reciters, the qira'ah of Ibn Kathir, from the narration of Khalil Ibn Ahmad. Ibn Kathir, he was the Meccan reciter. He recited غَيْرَ الْمَغْضُوبِ, and then that will be عَلَى الْإِسْتِثْنَى, it is to give exception, except those, that is, guide us to the path of those whom you have shown, whom you have bestowed your favor, except those who you have who earned your wrath, but then that will make them a subset of alladhina an'amta alayhi.
No,
but they are not a subset, because they have you can't describe the ones who earned the wrath, who got upon themselves the wrath of Allah. You can't describe them as people who have received the favor of, who have been blessed with the favor of Allah. O al-hal, that is, guide us to the right path, in the path that to describe the path, to say that the path that is not the path of those who earned your wrath. الفائدة الثامنة عشر, the 18th point is إسناد نعمة عليهم إلى الله. When you say صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم, the path of those whom you have bestowed your favor. So this one, you are saying that the bestow that the favor is from Allah, and you clearly mention that the path of those that Allah has bestowed his favor. So the bestowing of the favor, you attach it to Allah directly. But when you said al-ghadab, it is done in the passive without mentioning who did the wrath. It didn't say غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ غَيْرِ الَّذِينَ غَضَبْتَ عَلَيْهِ, and that is to behave properly. That is proper behavior with Allah. That is, you don't attach bad things to Allah, even though in reality good and bad are all from Allah. But out of respect and out of adab, of proper behavior with Allah and proper etiquette, you don't say that the path of those whom with whom you were wrathful, or who with whom you were angry, but you said the path of those who earned wrath, the path of those, how did we translate it? Those whose portion is not wrath, or as Abdul Halim translated it, he said, those who incur no anger, those who did not incur anger. those who did not incur anger without seeing that the anger is from Allah.
We have a visitor.
Yes, we said our sisters can come and listen to. They can come and listen.
Why not?
They go inside. Today they are there, inshallah. No, you can stay here. Tomorrow you go inside, inshallah. Oh, day after tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Yes, Saturday, inshallah. Well, this is like kakaulihi ta'ala wa idha maridtu fahuwa yashfi. You know, it's like in Suratul Shu'ara. Wa idha maridtu fahuwa yashfi. You didn't say when he makes me sick, he is the one who cures me. He said when I fall sick, he cures me. But you said alladhi huwa yut'imuni wa yasqi. Is the one who feeds me and the one who gives me to drink. You clearly mentioned that it that Allah is the actor, is the one who does. But when you come to something that is regarded as bad, you don't mention Allah as the subject, as the one who does. You just either you do it in the passive or you attach it to yourself. That is respect, out of respect with Allah. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَالْخَيْرُ كُلُّهُ فِي يَدَيْكَ وَالشَّرُّ لَيْسَ إِلَيْكَ. Good, all of it is in your hands. But evil, bad, لَيْسَ إِلَيْكَ, is not attached to you. It's not given attachment, it's not connected to you. You are not directly responsible for it. Yeah, we don't say that it is from you out of respect. No. Even though we know in reality, good and bad is all by the destiny of Allah. Wa alayhim awwal fi mawdi'i nasb. When you say sirat al-ladina an'amta alayhim, this is the object. Wa thani fi mawdi'i raf. Ghayr al-maghdubi alayhim. Because al-maghdub is the passive. And the passive in Arabic is always marfu. Na'ibu fa'il is marfu in Arabic grammar. Al-fa'idatu tasi'atu ashar, the 19th point, al-maghdub alayhim al-yahud. What is meant by al-maghdub alayhim? Those whose portion is wrath, those who incurred wrath, the meaning is, the reference here is to the Jews. Because the Jews, they were the ones who incurred the wrath of Allah upon themselves. قل أنبئكم بشر من ذلك قل هل أنبئكم بشر من ذلك مثوبة عند الله من لعنه الله وغضب عليه وجعل منهم القردة والخنازير وعبد الطاغوت. So they earned the wrath of Allah. غضب عليهم والضالين. And the meaning of Dalin and Nasara, this is the reference here is to the Christians. قال ابن عباس وابن مسعود وغيرهما. قاله ابن عباس وابن مسعود وغيرهما. This is the tafsir of Ibn Abbas and Ibn Mas'ud and some other scholars besides them. وقد روي ذلك عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. It was also reported on the authority of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. In Sunan al-Tirmidhi, and he said Hadithun Hasanun Ghareeb, and Ibn Hibban also reported it. وَقِيلَ ذَلِكَ عَامٌ فِي كُلِّ مَغْضُوبٍ عَلَيْهِمْ وَكُلِّ بَالٍ. It was said that also that this is general, this encompasses everyone who incurred the wrath of Allah, and everyone who went astray, not only the Jews and the Christians. So saying that it means the Jews and the Christians is tafsir by tamthil, tafsir by example. That reference is to them, they are part of the al-maghdub alayhim and the abdallun. Wal awwalu arjah, but the first is more, is stronger, the arba'ati awjuh, because for four reasons. Riwayatuhu anin nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that it was reported on the authority of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa jalalatu qa'ilihi, and the might, the lofty, the high position of the of the person who made this statement. وذكر ولا في قوله ولا الضالين دليل على تغاير الطائفتين. When it said not ولا الضالين, not those who went astray, it shows that they are two different groups. وأن الغضب also الغضب رات صفة اليهود في مواضع من القرآن. الغضب is the attribute, is the description of the Jews in different places in the Quran. كقوله تعالى, like the statement of Allah, فَبَاءُوا بِغَضَبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ فَبَاءُوا بِغَضَبٍ عَلَى غَضَبٍ فَبَاءُوا بِغَضَبٍ عَلَى غَضَبٍ. They came back with wrath upon wrath. ذلك بأنهم كانوا يكفرون بآيات الله ويقتلون النبيين بغير الحق. ذلك بما عصوا. No, this one فباءوا بغضب على غضب. نعم. That is. والكافرين عذاب مهين. But the he says فباءوا بغضب على غضب. They came back with wrath upon wrath. والضلال صفة النصارى. And going astray is the description of the Christians. لاختلاف أقوالهم الفاسدة في عيسى بن مريم عليه السلام. Because of the different sayings that they have regarding Isa عليه السلام. They say that he is, they give him divinity, and they say that he is and they have so much philosophical interpretations regarding the position of Isa, and all of which is based upon the statements of the misled philosophers. ولقول الله تعالى فيه, because Allah said regarding فيهم, regarding the Jew, the Christians, قد ضلوا من قبل وأضلوا كثيرا وضلوا عن سواء السبيل. يا أيها يا قل يا أهل الكتاب لا تغلوا في دينكم غير الحق ولا تتبعوا أهواء قوم قد ضلوا من قبل وأضلوا كثيرا وضلوا عن سواء السبيل. So all here going astray is mentioned to describe them. So this shows that what is meant by this our prayer is that we ask Allah to protect us from following the path of the Jews or the path of the Christians. Another interpretation says that the path of the Jews is the path of those who know but refused to act. They knew but they refused to follow the guidance, because they knew the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but they denied him. They rejected him.
Mm-hmm.
They rejected him on account of envy. On account of envy and hatred. But the Nasara, they did not know, and they were full of action. وَرَهْبَانِيَةً اِبْتَدَعُوهَا مَا كَتَبْنَاهَا عَلَيْهِ. They are ignorant of the law, and they went and created ways of worshipping Allah without true knowledge. So we are asking Allah to protect us from the way of those who know but do not follow the guidance. Know of those who do not know and they continue following their own desires and whims and caprices. And these are the two sources of misguidance.
Mm-hmm.
You know but you do not follow. Or you act but without knowledge. These are the two main paths of misguidance. And this is how the Jews and the Christians went astray.
But they are considered the people of the book.
They are considered the people of the book, yes, because the book was revealed to them. They received the revelation. The original religion is a religion revealed from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And it's not all of them that are like that. It's not all the Jews that are Maghdub alayhim. No, are all the Nasara Abdallun. Because Allah says, Laysu Sawa'a. They are not all the same. They are not all the same. الفائدة العشرون, the 20th point. You see, the wisdom of the Quran in calling them people of the book is to bring them close to accepting the truth, to remind them of their original position, their originality. They were originally followers of prophets, and if they indeed they stick to the path of prophets, they should accept Islam. So that is why they are called people of the book, to distinguish them from the polytheists who did not receive any book, and they are idolaters. They deny God, and they reject Allah, and they reject the prophets of Allah. Yeah. And they did not receive any guidance. But the people of the book, they are closer to Islam, because the original message is the same. It's all from Allah. It's all revelation from Allah. And the same prophets that they profess, they are mentioned in the Quran, the prophets of the Old Testament and the prophet of the New Testament, the Gospels, Isa alayhi salam, they are all in the Quran. So that's why they are called the people of the book. And Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, he said, the wisdom of Allah in letting them be and living with the Muslims, and they are not asked to reject their religion and enter into Islam as a condition for living with the Muslims, is because their continued presence is a testimony to the truth of the message of Islam. Allah says, وَيَقُولُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَسْتَ مُرْسَلًا. The disbelievers, they say, you are not a messenger. قُلْ كَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكُمْ وَمَنْ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ الْكِتَابِ. Allah is enough as a witness between me and you, and also anyone that has knowledge of the book is a witness. So they are remaining in existence in their religion, and then when they read the message of Islam, they accept Islam is a testimony to the truthfulness of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why you see eminent men of God among them, eminent priests and scholars among them accepting Islam, like Professor Abdul Ahad Dawood, of Armenia. He was from the Orthodox Church, and he accepted Islam, and he's the one who wrote Muhammad in the Bible. And you can see his eminence in the field of biblical studies. And even the verses that you will not think that they are talking about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the Bible, Abdul Ahad Dawood, he shows that these are all prophecies about the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Al-Fa'idatul Ishroon, the 20th point, and this is the final point. هذه السورة جمعت معاني القرآن العظيم كله. This surah, it combines together all the meanings that are there in the Quran. كَأَنَّهَا نُسْخَةٌ مُخْتَصَرَةٌ مِنْهُ. It is as though it is a concise version of the Quran. فَتَأَمَّلْهَا. Then ponder upon it. بَعْدَ تَحْصِيلِ الْبَابِ السَّادِسِ مِنَ الْمُقَدِّمَةِ الْأُولَى. After reading the sixth chapter of the first introduction. You know, we took the introduction in brief. We did not take the introduction one by one. But he said that the sixth chapter of the first introduction, explains this. تعلم, if you think about it, you will see. تعلم ذلك في الألوهية حاصلا في قوله الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم. You will know divinity, that is the oneness of Allah and His divinity, from Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. That is unity of Allah, oh? Because He is the only Rabbul Alameen. So Tawheed is here. And this is one of the subjects of the Quran. Wad-dar al-akhirah, and you know the hereafter. from Maliki Yawmiddin, master, the owner or the king of the Day of Judgment. So it establishes the Day of Judgment. So you know, believe in Yawm al-Akhirah from the third verse. والعبادات كلها في الاعتقادات من الاعتقادات والأحكام التي تبتضيها الأوامر والنواهي في قوله إياك نعبد. And all the acts of ibadah, acts of worship, that entail belief and practices, you know them, that are based on the commands and the prohibitions of Allah, you get them from إياك نعبد. You alone do we worship. So if you say, you alone do we worship, how is the worship done? So it has been established in Fatiha, then the details, you go and get it from other verses of the Quran. Right. But Fatiha has contained the fundamental, the original. وَالشَّرِيعَةُ كُلُّهَا فِي قَوْلِهِ الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. And the whole Sharia, the whole path of the rules of the religion from الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. والأنبياء وغيرهم في قوله الذين أنعمت عليهم. And you know, believe in the messengers of Allah from الذين أنعمت عليهم. Because as we learned, الذين أنعمت عليهم, those whom you have bestowed your favor, these are the prophets and the truthful believers, the martyrs and the righteous slaves of Allah. وذكر طوائف الكفار, I'm mentioning the different sects of the those who rejected Islam from غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. So Fatiha, it contains the whole of what is in the Quran in a concise way. This is what he wants to show to us. Khatima, this is the conclusion or the final part. أمر بالتأمين عند خاتمة الفاتحة للدعاء الذي فيها. We are commanded to say Ameen based on the prayer that is there in Fatiha, the supplication. Fatiha contains supplication, which is Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. You are invoking Allah. You are praying to Allah. So that is why you say Ameen. وَقَوْلُكَ Ameen إِسْمُ فِعِلْ. The meaning of Ameen in Arabic is Ismu Fi'il, is the name of action. Ma'anahu Allahumma stajib. O Allah, istajib. Accept our prayer. Waqila huwa min asma'illah. Some scholars, they say that it is part of the, is among the names of Allah. Wa yujuzu fihi maddul, is a name among the names of Allah. But you need to establish this, there should be authority. But what is more authoritative is that it means Allahumma stajib. Because this is common in Arabic. It's asma'ul fi'l. Like you say, sah. Sah. That is be quiet. You say, Allah. It's ismul fi'l. I have pain. These are common in Arabic language. But some ignorant people, they say, Ameen is the name of an idol. Of an idol, of the Egyptian idols. You know, because the Shia, even though they do taqiyya, but they don't do taqiyya in Ameen. A Shia man will never say, a Shia person will never say Ameen. That's why they are distracted away from their guidance, because they don't say Ameen. Because they say that, and part of the things that they say, part of the myths, because these are mythologies, Tasunia, part of the mythology they say is that the original meaning of Ameen is one of the gods of the Egyptian pantheon. It's an idol of the Egyptians. So actually the people, the Ahlus Sunnah that are saying Ameen, they are actually calling upon the name of an idol. You know, despite all the ahadith that have come, on the
authority.
Yeah, he's the one who said
it. Making his point.
Yeah, and even making fun of it.
Yes, but it lacked depth.
Of course.
And clearly it was not well researched. Because the basis of his argument that the word was borrowed from another language.
Mm-hmm.
You know what?
Mm-hmm. And how can you say it is borrowed from another language? You see, to make to claim that to go back to say that a word is from another language, you need to do a lot of literary research to establish that. What is the connection? What is the connection? Just because the Egyptians, they have a god named Amen, and then you say, what about the Jews? The Jews, too, originally this is a Hebrew word. If it is literal origin, it is there in Hebrew. It is from Hebrew, and then it went, and because, you know, the Hebrew language and the Arabic language, they are both Semitic languages. They are all from the same family. They are all from the same roots. That's why you have words that are common to both, like salam and shalom. Salam, the Jews, the Hebrews will say shalom.
Mm-hmm.
And up to now, this is how the Jews, they treat themselves, shalom. Mm-hmm. So it's the same thing also with, you find even the Jews and the Christians, they say amen. Amen. Amen is actually, it's what the Arabs also have in their language. I mean, that is for Allah accept our prayer. And it is enough for us that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whenever he recited, the whole mosque will say Ameen behind him. And he used to say, إِذَا قَالَ الْإِمَامُ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ فَقُولُوا آمِينَ فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ وَافَقَ تَأْمِينُهُ تَأْمِينَ الْمَلَائِكَ غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. When the Imam says, وَلَا الضَّالِينَ, you say Ameen. فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ وَافَقَ تَأْمِينُهُ. And look at what the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم called تَأْمِين. تَأْمِين is the saying of Ameen. Whoever has his own pronunciation of Ameen to coincide with that of the Imam, then what is for what has gone before, what has when the his own saying Ameen coincides with those of the with that of the angels, he will be forgiven what has passed of his sins.
It is also a universal word in
Naam.
It's a universal word in all the languages.
No, it's difficult to say universal, because if you say universal, it means all languages.
Right.
But to say it is Semitic, it has a Semitic root. Yes, it's possible it has a Semitic root, but it has been taken into Arabic. It has become an Arabic word. You know, it's like Firdaus. Firdaus is originally a Persian word, but it has been Arabized. And that is why you don't even say that in the Quran there are words that are non-Arabic. Because if you say that, you will be denying the Quran. Because Allah has said, لِسَانُ الَّذِي يُلْحِدُونَ إِلَيْهِ عَاجَمِيٌ وَهَذَا لِسَانٌ عَرَبِيٌ مُبِينٌ قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًا غَيْرَ ذِعِيٌ. Allah has described the Quran as an Arabic Quran. So it is not permissible to say there is anything in the Quran that is not Arabic, because you will be denying the Quran. But then there are words that were originally taken they were originally not Arabic words, but they became Arabized. And when it became Arabized, it became Arabic. Firdaus became an Arabic word. Ibrahim. It's originally not an Arabic name, it's a Hebrew name. And that's why you have some Qurra, they recite Ibrahim with Abrahama. وَإِذِي بْتَلَى أَبْرَهَامَ رَبُّهُ
Hisham.
Ra'ash Hisham. There was the story of one a Bedouin Arab on the way between Qasim and Riyadh. They stopped to pray Maghrib, and then the Imam, because he was among students of knowledge, So he was doing the recitation of Hisham. وإذ ابتلى أبراهام ربه بكلمات إذ قال أبراهام. So this Bedouin Arab, he said, قل إبراهيم الله يهديك. Say Ibrahim, may Allah guide you. And he thought that the prayer was invalid. How can you say Abraham? But it is a recitation, just to reflect the origin. So there are words like that. But Amin, it itself is originally Arabic. It's originally, it's not borrowed. They could have the same root with the Semitic, with the Hebrew, based on their Semitic origin. They are both from the same root. The Semites, they are regarded as the descendants of Sam ibn Nuh. You know, the historians, they say that that the messenger of Allah, Nuh alayhi salam, he had three sons, Sam, Waham, Wayafith. And the most of the Middle Eastern peoples, you know, including the Hebrew, the Babylonians, the Arabs, they are originally from Sam. And then the Turks and the barbarians, the Europeans, they are from Yafis. And then the black race from Ham. Habasha and Sudan, they are from Ham.
But there is a sub linguistic group called Hemetic Semitic. And Hausa is one of those languages.
So it's like a marriage of Hemetic Semitic. Because they had, it will have the influence of the Semitic. Well, definitely Hausa, you know, it's they say about a third of the words, they are originally Arabic words. Just like the Swahili.
That's why it is
it's very easy to learn.
It's alive and it's very progressive.
Yeah.
It borrows easily.
It borrows easily from other languages. Borrowing, this is common. All people who study linguistics. So that is why, like this, the statement of this, they are man. It shows nothing but ignorance. Ignorance of the history of languages. And also ignorance of Islam, ignorance of the Sunnah. وَيَجُوزُ فِيهِ مَدُّ الْهَمْزَةِ. It is permissible for you to elongate the Hamza, to say Ameen. وَقَصْرُهَا, and to say Ameen, and without the mad. وَلَا يَجُوزُ تَشْدِيدِ الْمِين. But it's not permissible to to double the meme, to say Ameen. To say Ameen. Or Ameen, it's not permissible to do tashdeed. Because when you do that, it means from Amma Ya'um. That is to set your direction. Wala Ameen al Bayt al Haram. Not the ones whose objective is to go to the Bayt al Haram. Now, and with that. Or they make a stop as Afsa'a to separate? No, that is wrong. Because it's a single word, it's not two words. Ameen. Oh, Ameen. But without Shadda. Not Ameen. And not Ameen. Well, you Aminu fi Salah. You do the Ameen in prayer. والمأمور والفرد والإمام إذا أسرى. The one who is praying behind an imam, and the imam, and the one who prays alone, they all do it. They all do it when the recitation is silent. واختلفوا إذا جهرى. And there are differences when the imam he says it aloud. But the hadiths of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that you should coincide. You should say it at the time that the imam is saying his own. You say it together. It's from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Zubayr, the way it is in the way he used to do in Mecca. Okay. So we'll stop here, inshallah, and on Saturday we'll start Surah Al-Baqarah. Since we have some time, we can answer some questions directly.
Sheikh.
Now,
in my explanation, you said that Ibrahim, he was the father of the kingdom.
Not the father.
Where in his time there was no kingdom?
No, he was not the father. No, I'm not saying the language of the yes, it is true, it was Syriac. It was Syriac language, Syriania.
What is the question?
Yeah, he said it's a correction. He said, I said that that Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was the father of the Hebrew language, and he said that during his time there was no Hebrew language, because he actually spoke Syriac. Because Syriac is also a version of the Semitic languages. It preceded the Hebrew. And it was the language also spoken by Isa alayhi salam. He spoke, so the original Bible was in Syriac.
And
was later translated to Hebrew.
There is that village in Syria.
Now,
high up in the mount. One can easily mistake it for a Muslim village. And it's Christian.
Subhanallah.
Their beliefs are so much closer to Islamic and for instance, all men are in
faith.
No cross. No status. And they don't believe in any divine divinity. Neither Maryam is. And so that kind of Christianity is not like
those were the Unitarian Christians. The Unitarian Christians. And up till now I was passing by one street in England, and I saw a church, the Unitarian Church.
They still have it.
Yeah, they still have it.
This mainstream Christianity is actually influenced by Rome.
Yes.
Then governing Jerusalem. And in Rome, they believed in man God. So that is how this matter of divinity was
forced into
the original Christianity.
There was the influence of the Greek philosophers, especially through Philo, he was of the Alexandrian school of Christianity. It was what actually made Trinity mainstream, because they brought the polytheist ideas of Greek philosophers into the prophetic teachings of Isa alayhi salam. And there was one of our Muslim scholars, Dr. Umar Abdullah, Umar Farooq Abdullah, he was my friend, an American. He had a paper, handwritten paper, which was not published, but he gave me a copy, and he traced the influence of Philo upon the creed of Christianity. And reading that paper, you will realize deeply the meaning of what Allah has said, وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا أَهَوَاءَ قَوْمٍ قَدْ ضَلُّوا مِنْ قَبْلُ وَأَضَلُّوا كَثِيرًا وَضَلُّوا عَنْ سَوَاءِ السَّبِيلِ. Do not follow the whims and desires of people who had gone astray before, who had earlier gone astray and have misled others and had gone astray away from the right path. So actually it is the influence of those who are influenced by Greek philosophy. And that was what it nearly did to Islam, were it not for the protection of Allah, because Allah has said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, there shall not cease to be a group in his community upright on the right path. Otherwise, the philosophers, what they tried to do in Islam is what the Greek philosophers did to the creed of the Christians. because they are the ones who bring about in here as well, that all acts of worship, they believe that prophethood can be achieved through reflection, and that it is not a selection from Allah. They also say that hell and paradise, they are just pictorial, they are not for real. So many of the and they say that the acts of prayer and so on, they are just done in order that they are just for the commoners. But the moment you have realization, you realize the truth through reflection and through higher mental activity, you don't need to do all those things.
Speaking of Arabic language, what's the aspect of the jurhum?
Jurhum, no. Yeah, the jurhum, they came from Yemen. They were the Al-Arab al-Ariba, the original Arabs. Then when they came and settled in Mecca, Ismail alayhi salam, he learned from them their language. And that is why his own descendants, they became Al-Arab al-Musta'ariba, those who were Arabized. They acquired the Arabic language. But as a people, they are all Semitic. They are all Semitic.
Even the Jurhum.
Even the Jurhum, they were all Semitic. They are all Semites. Now, to answer him, amen. If he makes a prayer, if he's praying to Allah, yeah, you can say amen to his prayer. If he is not saying through Jesus Christ our Lord. When he does that, he does shirk. And if you say Ameen at that time, you are joining him in prayer. Yes, you are an accomplice. You see, the one who does Ameen is an accomplice of the one who prays. Because Allah says regarding Musa alayhi salam, وَقَالَ مُوسَى رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ آتَيْتَ فِرْعَوْنَ وَمَلَأَهُ زِينَةً وَأَمْوَالًا في الحياة الدنيا ربنا ليضلوا عن سبيلك ربنا اطمس على أموالهم واشدد على قلوبهم فلا يؤمنوا حتى يروا العذاب الأليم. This was the prayer by Musa alayhi salam, that his, the wealth of Fir'aun be destroyed and their hearts be made hard. But then what did Allah say? Allah said قد أجيبت دعوتكما, the prayer of the two of you has been accepted. But the prayer was done by Musa, and Harun was saying Ameen. And look at this ignorant Shia, they are saying that Ameen is the name of a god, or of an idol. They don't know to say, this is clear in the Quran, قَدْ أُجِيبَتْ دَعْوَتُكُمَا. How did Harun pray? He did not pray, it was Musa alayhi salam. By what Allah has said, وَقَالَ مُوسَى, and Musa said. But then Allah said, the prayer of the two of you has been accepted. Because Harun was saying Ameen. This is what our scholars say. Otherwise, you'll be hard-pressed to find a meaning to what has been mentioned there. I will still have time. Naam. Alaykum as-salam. Quote from the Quran. Reminder.
So I don't know, sometimes I just I tell you thank you.
Thank you is not I mean. yeah, it's
like that. But if he sent bloody verses, I don't see anything wrong in answering back. I mean,
no, he sends, but he says thank you, but he's not sending a prayer. Is he sending a prayer?
Yes, he is.
If it is from the Quran, if it is praying a prayer to Allah, and they don't mention, they don't do shirk in the prayer, you can say Ameen.
They usually copy from another
media. Yeah, and just send it. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم اشرح صدورنا ويسر أمورنا وفرج همومنا واختم بالصالحات أعمالنا اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات اللهم اجعلنا في هذا الشهر من الفائزين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.